Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
It's so nice to be with you, Paul McGregor, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires, and a big welcome to the show, Mark Guy, MG. How are you, fella?
Hello, Tone. Hello, Girds. Hello, Mary. Good to see you, buddy.
Hello, big fella. How are you, mate?
Well, fantastic, mate. Yeah, it's really, really good. Good game. Some good games of footy, hasn't there been?
Yeah, well, just before we get to some of the ones we'd like to have a chat about, how did Mav go? He had a game just minutes ago.
Yes, the Jersey Flag down the 21s for Penrith got beaten by the Dragons 23-22 in a thriller. And good game.
And he's playing. Yay. Did he? I thought he was a back row. Did he play in the front row today?
Yeah, he's been playing the front row this year. He's been going good, the kid. He's going okay, yeah. But the Dragons were a good team, so good game to watch, but.
All right, what are you? We've already spoken a little bit about the Storm and the Roosters. What are your takeaways from that game?
Oh, well, if news is correct about Takiyahau and Hargreaves both being out injured, that's a big blow for the Roosters. But I think it's more about how good the big three now are for the Melbourne Storm in Harry, Pappy and Munster. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, after Smith, Slater and Cronk all vacate the premises, in come these three guys who looks like they can be there for another 10 years like the big three were. And last night, Harry Grant's second half, I don't think I've seen a better, maybe Nathan Cleary sometime this year's played better, but in that 40 minutes, I don't think I've seen a better 40 minutes from an individual this season. He's just got, I can't believe he's only played 15 or 16 first grade games. He is unbelievable, that kid.
And what did you make of Victor Radley? Now
I love him. I love him.
Of course you do. Of course you do. 10 minutes in the sin bin for collecting Cameron Munster. Now he's been charged careless high tackling with grade 2. He'll miss 2 weeks, 3 if he goes to the judiciary and fights it. This, of course, is off the back of some loading, so he has a similar offence before, which bumps it up a bit.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? You see these things happen. They're innocuous. Was a bit of a reflex action. He was on the hunt, but Victor, he was trying to get his troops up. You know, I love the way he was taking on Nelson all night. Just was like a magnet to Nelson, where a lot of other blokes stay well away from him. Victor was going to him at 100 miles an hour. So, yeah, look, that's another blow. You know, I think they've got the Dragons on Anzac Day, and the Dragons are looking good for that one because the Roosters are wounded. They're very wounded. And without Victor, maybe Takiyahau and Hargreaves, that's three big ones out for him.
There was all the talk beforehand about the Ryan Pappenhausen Tedesco kind of battle that was going to go on for the fullbacks. And look, Teddy had an okay game, but the sense of competition within him right to the very last play, the kick for the score to actually get them on the scoreboard was brilliant.
They just can't find a way to get him in the contest at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, he never really relies on too many people, but if you think about, you know, Teddy over the last couple of years in those key positions, he's had some experience, he's had some people there to know how to bring him into the game, because as a fullback, you rely a lot of the times on other people, especially when you're playing out the back. With the young group they have there at the moment in the Roosters, with, you know, young Walker and Huskin, they just don't have those combinations. So, you know, when they play the sides where they're really dominant and they're playing on the front foot, Teddy can just come in and do his things. But when they meet a fair bit of resistance and they come up against the better sides like they did last night, they need to find a way as a team to get him into the contest, because he just didn't see any footy at all last night.
Mary, well, you mentioned Sam Walker, 18-year-old kid, won the game for them last week. That's his third game in the NRL. So you're not expecting him to produce every week as a coach, are you?
Oh, well, it was a tough night for him. You know, playing in Melbourne, the conditions are slightly different. The dew on the ground, completely different opposition this week. His vision is special.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And he's got amnesia because he moves on pretty quickly from the last play to the next, whether it's good or bad. This guy is going to be as good as everyone's saying. I think he's very, very special going forward. Gerds touched on Teddy. It's very hard, Gerds, for a fullback to get involved in that middle part of the field if you're not there. So they didn't really get out of their own end easy last night. I think they missed BMOS a fair bit. and he usually gets him forward and generates a play the ball for him, which gets him on the front foot, and he gets in behind that. And he rails up a fair bit through that middle third, and he's dangerous. But I just thought that the tacks that got taken out of him due to the amount of defence they'd done in that 12-man period really affected the performance of a few of them at the back end of the game.
Yeah. Hey, MG, just a quick one without notice. We talked about Kalyn Ponga doing a lot of up she comes. When you were playing, did you ever go on the field feeling absolutely crook?
Yes, a couple of times. And you just go, they give you a little tablet to take and away you go. And it's not good. It's especially when you're coming out both ends. It's and, you know, you get a couple of corks and away you go.
Who's packing in behind you?
Well, that's right. Ben, usually call Ben and say, mate, come on. It's, you know, we're wearing the white today too. Come on.
Is there a worry, though? I mean, if you've got a virus in the current environment...
Should he be playing in a mask, Tony?
Should he be playing in a mask? Should he not be playing at all?
That's a fair point.
Where we are in the world at the moment...
No. Well, I mean, if he doesn't play, they don't win. More important?
From a health and safety perspective?
No, well,
I think... What if he passes the bug on? What if someone gets the virus from the other team?
Exactly.
We have 2 weeks.
The headgear with the mask all in one. It's a marketing opportunity. We're at the padded mask.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
And the Panthers and the Broncos, 20 points to 12. The Panthers got home with that game. As a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard at Tyre Power's huge store-wide super sale. Buy three, get one free on Kuma passenger and SUV tyres. I think that scoreline was pretty much expected to blow out a lot more than that for the Panthers. But, Mary, the Broncos, they hung in there.
Yeah, they played the game the right way. I think it was a great game for you to watch. Penrith composed, confident, clutch player in Cleary, outstanding, to be honest. So they've had a couple of hard games and they were a little bit flat, but they played the right way and just confident enough to get it done in the back end of the game. Broncos, 17 arts to the one beat. I thought it was a really good team performance. They played with a lot of passion, purpose, stayed within the game plan. Put it in behind their right corner, Penrith's left side, and played a real dominant power game, which surprised Penrith a little bit, because you look at the Broncos side and you look at their forward pack, it's as good as most on paper.
Yeah,
it's just got to get it done when they get out there for a consistent 80 minutes. And on the back of the kicking game, I think that helped them because Penrith were coming out of the corner quite often. They were very lucky at that winger from Penrith that was bringing it out at 100 mile an hour consistently.
Yeah.
He's a very, very good player.
Yeah, they made it personal. You could see with Kevy, with the address before they went on, that, you know, they were on their home turf. They needed to, they had a decent crowd there. They needed to show something. And you could see that Lodge made it personal. He went out and took on Fisher Harris. You had Pangai was moved to that right side to look after, whether it was not because, I think he started on the bench the week before, but he went on to that right edge and looked after Big Kick Out. He made that personal. He won that battle. And Payne Haas through the middle again. You know, they just made it personal. They kept it really simple, and that was highly effective. And they've set a standard now. I mean, that's what the Broncos fans and what Kevy, they need to see that, because they come up against one of the best sides in the competition. They didn't have the experience in the key moments to make those big plays, but that'll come if they keep performing. And that way, great foundation, great way to great game to build off.
How good are Penrith, but aren't they fun to watch? They're hard to beat, and they're excited to play every time they take the field.
Yeah,
it's enjoyable watching them play.
Yeah,
and that's why they're leading the competition.
And I think there's in that 17, Mary, that played against the Broncos, 14 of them made their debut with Penrith.
Yeah, wow.
So they've all come through the. The latter state, the earlier grades, and they've all come through maybe from Harold Matts, from under 15s, a lot of them. So, yeah, and you talk about that rolling ball of thunder that is Brian Tottle. I mean, watching other wingers the Fox last night and Tupu, who are the incumbents, Tottle at the moment is the first winger picked, really, on form. They peppered him all night with the high ball. He's one of the shortest wingers, but he's one of the most powerful ratio to power that I've ever seen from a short bloke in the footy that I've been watching, and he's almost 300 metres again. He just does as a forward. You love having a winger like that who just gets the ball, he rolls his sleeves up, and he does one of the hit ups that you're supposed to do. Then the next time you want to do a hit up, you're fresher because the winger's taking one for you. That's rare. That's very rare. You've got to go back to, obviously the Warriors with big Fusatura and Mamalo, but back in Wendell and
Lottie
days, they used to do it. So Brian Tottle was special.
Brett Plowman.
Oh, he was scary.
They got some good things ahead too, Penrith, because they got, Api Coruscant. Now, we saw the difference that, Harry Grant came in and made for Melbourne last night. Don't forget, Penrith have got two pretty influential players on the sidelines as well at the moment. So they've got their fullback there in Edwards, and they've got Api Coruscant, who's, we saw what he sort of season he had last year and the influence he has on that group. So we're going to speak to Mitch Kenny later on, but they're a different style of player as well. Api likes to run, and Mitch is kind of distributes a little bit more. So that's exciting for Penrith, and they got Naden, and I don't know how far he is away from coming back, but Momorowski now, I think, has 2 weeks. He got suspended, so they're going to have to fill a hole there. Then they've got to make some decisions around what they do, when everyone's back with guys like Matt Burton and Tyrone May, and how they balance their 17
job, Burton,
I think, what do you do with him?
You've got to play him.
I understand there is a system.
But Crichton will go back into the centres, and then you got Naden because, when Edwards comes back. So
I'm not sure if I'd move Burton out of the side.
I wouldn't.
Exactly. So you have him in the 17 somewhere.
And at the moment, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but that little winger is doing a lot of work for everyone else. He's doing a lot of work for everyone else. He carries at the back of the field. Stain's coming up with a couple of unforced errors, coming out of the back of the field when they hit him through the middle because he's a small body, still learning his trade. And by rights, he should be playing at one because he is one.
Agreed.
So that decisions will come down, and they'll work themselves out with injuries or no injuries going forward.
I think Mary, there is a system about who gets to play and who doesn't, and it's all based on the injury in the week in training they have in a Stedford, and they all have to sing. and those who can harmonise in boy band style the best obviously get a run. We've heard it several times post-game, and we heard it again this week. I think the trio may have been Brian To'o, Stephen Crichton and Jerome Luai.
Yeah,
just have a listen.
It's unnatural. You belong to me. I belong to you.
Wow. Oh, very good.
Wow. This is on the field.
They've caught a bit of flak, haven't they, over the last couple of weeks? And, everyone's got their own opinion on how they behave.
And what's your opinion on the singing?
I really enjoyed the handshake. I have to say I really enjoyed that, the way they went about that. That was really cool. Now, I always think humility goes a long way in sport, but that's just me. Things are done differently these days. Yeah. I wouldn't sort of have as much carry on if I was involved in that team, but that doesn't mean that what they're doing, isn't right and it's not working for them. So, good on them. I think next time they probably just need to say we've done it. Moving on.
I love it. I think if you've got the talent, you've got to flaunt it, baby. Not only are they good for rugby league players, they're fantastic singers as well, and they're good. Look, they're great kids. They're them three guys, along with Moses Leota and Spencer Linu, all Mount Druitt boys. That's my suburb where I was brought up in 2770, and they love it. They love it. They love where they're from. They don't forget where they're from, and they, when you live in that suburb, it's a bit of hardship that goes with it because it's a very poor area, and you kind of everything that you win is such a bonus. And I think that's why they're playing. They're walking into the game where they're playing with a boombox. They're singing. They're expressing themselves in a way that I haven't seen another team do it. And I think as long as they keep doing this, well, they should be in the winning circle because don't change this, which is not broke. They're in the position they are at the moment with 6 wins in a row and 17 wins in a row from last year because they don't give a damn what other people think.
Is that your kind of music, MG?
I'm a bit more. Us three could be the Bee Gees. Yeah.
Now you're talking. I love it.
Right, go on, Barry.
Before we get on to the Broncos again, I just want to talk to you quickly about Kevy Walters and his pre-game routine last night. But what about Nathan Cleary? He just, in terms of control and controlling a game, he's quite amazing. And each week he just gets more and more dominant, doesn't he? Whether it be the 40-20s, whether it be the field goal, whether it just be scoring a try when he knows he needs to get it done. When he needs to get it done, he does.
Yeah, his commitment in the whole game, like defensively, is there any better chaser in his kick in the game at seven than him?
No.
You know, he'll double up on his tackles in the middle of the field. He'll rip back into position, he'll get off his line. With ball in hand, he's everywhere. He obviously plays all over the park. He's the first receiver most of the time. His decision-making, he seems to have more and more time as weeks go on, years go on. Look, this, again, is he the best player to ever come out of Penrith? These two Penrith boys can answer that going forward.
He's on his way.
Yeah.
He's the most complete player I think I've seen, you know, in a long time for that position at that age, I would have to say. You know, he's 23 years of age and there's just no blemish to his game. And, you know, we love people that handle moments, and I think that was always going to be the challenge for him. And, you know, there's been a few people talk about his Origin career and what he needs to do there, and I think, you know, that'll come because we all know Origin's a different beast altogether. But from a club perspective, the way that he handles those moments in games for the age and the maturity that he shows, I believe it's unparalleled. I haven't seen anything like it before.
Wow, it's a big rap. And there's some great players also to come. I'm sitting between.
He goes, mentions that position, and obviously the first person who comes to your mind is Brandy. And, you know, things he's still doing a footy field were unbelievable. They're so different players. You know, Nathan's defence is a lot better than Brandy's was. Brandy's running game was a lot better than Nathan's. And, you know, it's very hard to compare these two. And I think as Nathan gets older and older, and that game the other night, when they had to win the game, as Mary said, he's so clutch. That field goal, the try, and to answer your question, Mary, as well, I don't think I've seen a halfback since Andrew Johns chase a kick down and tackle first up like he does. He just wants to be in the game all the time, and that's such a good quality.
Yeah, it's a leader of men.
Yeah. You mentioned Brandy. Was it Brandy the other day said that he's got a frozen shoulder? Injury, yeah. And he said, could it have been from tackling? He said, no, definitely not. Turns out it was genetic.
My wife had it. Yeah. My wife had the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Not all them somersaults after his tries.
That's right.
In France.
What about Kevy Walters? There's been a lot of talk over, you know, in terms of Origin, his approach, how he deals with the media, how he deals with his side. He was incredibly animated pre-game, wasn't he? And, you know, getting these guys, G'ing these guys up. Now, I'm not sure if there was something specific in the warm-up that instigated it, I don't know, or he just decided, you know what, this is what I feel, I'm going to throw it at him.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether it was something that was built up in the warm-up or something that he felt he needed to say. It had the right result. You know, they went out with great intent. We spoke about it with a lot of passion. They stuck to what needed to be done with the game plan, and they took the best team in the competition right to the wire. So whether you can do that every week, we know that there's probably four blow-ups a year from a coach that can be really, really good and direct. After that, it probably loses its substance. But, you know, Kevy's a winner too. You know, he's won five competitions. Like, he's a Broncos boy. He knows he's a proud. He knows he's coaching a proud club, so he's showing his emotion to his players, what it means to him, what it should mean to them. So, I feel that look, whatever Kevy's been honest and truthful, it's the right way to go.
And he can leverage off his past, and that's one of the main reasons I think he got the role.
Yep.
You know, there's not any other coach. If Mary was coaching the Broncos, he couldn't stand up there at Suncorp Stadium before they ran out and give an address like that, because he hasn't earned the right there. He could do it for the Dragons. And that's what Kevy's got, and he used it the other night, and he got the desired effect. And he can't use it every week, but when they're playing at Suncorp Stadium in front of a home crowd, well, there's not many people can stand up there like Kevy Walters and address them and say what it means to the fans and to the club and to the ex-players the way that he can. So good on him for using it. And I hope the boys, you know, kick on from there.
Absolutely. Got a result. Wasn't a win, but it was a great game of footy. 20-12, the Panthers over the Broncos. And given that we've been worried about blowouts, that was one we thought may have been that. But no, they stuck solid.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Paul McGregor with us as well. Been sensational thus far. And I'm going to put
We've carried him, Tone. Come on.
Absolutely. You and I, obviously. MG with
us. He carried me for a lot of years back in the day. But
did he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I came. My first year was next to Mary at the Steelers in 92. He showed the way.
You were playing both the centres, obviously, then.
Yeah, he was. He was right and I was left, but we came together a lot. And yeah, outstanding.
How was the cocky young man next to you when he first arrived?
Same size.
What about the shoulders?
They were quite large. He had a very good footwork and ability to be able to beat someone comfortably. His career is well decorated at Penrith. His junior footy was very similar down home. So it was a big loss to the club back then.
Yeah, no, I was bitter and twisted about it at the time and remain so. Did you play, obviously, rep footy, you and MG together?
Yeah, I probably started when MG was just finishing. So my first game in Origin was 92 till 99. Mm. I think MG finished in 91. Would that be fair,
yep.
MG?
Yep.
But we crossed paths with each other, you know.
Because you were a late bloomer, weren't you, Mary? You were about 23 or something?
Yeah, we're similar age. I'm 53 this year. What are you, Jim?
53.
Yeah. So, I didn't start playing grade until I was 22. So, very late developer, yeah.
Great to watch you in action, though, I remember. All right. Look, I've got a little here, a job for you guys. It's a report card that you're going to deliver on some of the players who have been signed and have changed clubs. Let's just see how they've rated over the first, 6 weeks of the competition. Let me start with you, Ryan Girdler.
Oh.
I've got a couple for you.
Okay.
Nick Kotrick, how's he gone?
Well, I think Nick's still maybe in shock. he came to play. I mean, look, if you're gonna play for a club that's really struggling and you're a centre winger, you're better off playing on the wing because at least you're going to get some opportunities, you know, through, you know, returning kicks and things like that and chasing down and attacking kicks and scoring some tries that way. Look, I think he's had some really nice moments in games, but I think in the centre sometimes, you know, they struggle to get the ball to him in the right sort of field position and create opportunities for him. I'm not sold on him being a centre. I'm not writing him off as a centre. I think there's some certain parts of his game that, you know, might work. He could work on to make him a better centre. I think it's definitely he needs to develop a better pass. You know, playing in the centres these days, as it always has been, is about trying to create opportunities two-on-one, you know, get the winger in and pass the ball on your outside to create for other men. I see him as a great ball runner, but I think so far it's been a tough start to his Bulldogs career.
All right,
for Nick.
Okay,
what's
hang
your
on.
Rating? What's your mark for him, Teacher?
I'll give him a. Oh, that's tough. I'll give him a. Well, he's had a tough club. I'll give him a C.
C, okay.
Well, he's, yeah.
Yeah, okay. C for Nick Kotrick.
Yep.
All right. C for Kotrick. I'll come back to you. Right. MG, who do you want to start with? Let's go with the man who, obviously, as a Dragons fan, sadly saw him leave and head to Newcastle, Tyson Frizzell.
He's been awesome for his new club. And I last year I thought he just wasn't the Tyson that we've come to grow and love. You know, he's always been a rampaging back rower who makes his presence felt in a contest and last year, I just didn't feel that was the year that he made his mark. I don't know whether, you know, people say that, you know, when you sign a long-term contract with another club, that, you know, I'm professional enough to not worry about it, but you've got to have some eye on the other prize, I would imagine. And that's how he played last year to me anyway. But this year, he's gone to the Knights and he's back to the old Tyson. He'll be picked in Origin in the back row and I'd give him an A-.
A-, all right. Mm. Mary, what about a man you've also coached? One of the greats, obviously, Benji Marshall.
Yeah, he brings great experience to that side. You've seen last week the effect it had immediately with the result they got.
Yep.
Nothing changed. So when you've got someone like Benji that can come onto the field with an injury or he's in your squad to replace a player that's suspended or injured, you're very comfortable as a coach. And this guy seems to be like red wine. He keeps getting better. He's not going to have to play too much footy.
Yep.
So that's going to even and lengthen what he does from in important times, and really highlight the what he can bring to that squad going forward this year.
All right.
So how do I rate him?
Yeah, how do you rate him?
For his one game?
A.
One full game.
Tino Fasilmalawi, what are your thoughts on him, Gerds?
I love Tino.
Yeah, I know you do.
I love Tino. Look,
is he the buy of the year, Gerds?
Look, I think if Harry Grant's not considered a buy because he's gone back to his club, I think Tino is going to be at some point, the buy of the year for the Titans, what he brings to that organisation. I think he's, so far this year, he averages 160 metres, about 35 tackles, plays big minutes, started out, plays in the middle, but now that they've got Peachy there, push him up to the front row, doesn't bother him. Both sides of the ball, he's super aggressive, always in the contest, holds people accountable. People don't want to play against him. He's got that personality where he turns a place into a fortress, and obviously that combination with Fifita going there, both for different roles, but I think if you ask any of the Titans players who they like playing with on a weekly basis, it'll be Tino A+.
A+, I love it. All right, well, a man who's left that environment and seems comfortable in the Cardinal and Myrtle of South Sydney, MG, is Jai Arrow.
Yeah, well, he's been fantastic as well. I'd love to be a teacher. I'll just give out A's all day. he's been, probably because he's been off the bench, he's been making, when you want a bench player, and Merrick can probably back this up as a coach of a first grade team, you just want some impact. You want your bench players to go on and straight away do something that changes the fabric of the game. And Jai Arrow seems to have been doing that with Wayne Bennett having him off the bench for the first five games of this competition. And every time Jai comes on, you know he's on because he does something that catches your eye. So, he's been great. I'll give him a B+.
B+, all right. Now, look, a little bit of injury, obviously, in the background for Jack Bird. In fact, major stuff, which made him, when he was signed by the Dragons, people a little bit nervous. But, Mary, he's really brought something.
Oh, look, Jack's ability to bring people along with his ability to compete.
Yep.
His attitude, his self-belief, he's now injury-free. We haven't seen him put that many games together consistently, even though he's had a suspension for a week. Look, he's a difference on that back line. He's really if you sit down and have a coffee with Jack and put three other people in the best players, he'd think he's better than the three of them, which right. is a great thing to
that's
have.
It's
a great thing to have because he'll go out there and he'll try and make it happen. Yeah. So for the Dragons with Jack Bird, it's a big tick for me, and it's a B+, and it's progressing, so he's going to get better.
Yeah, they thought there was talk of that he might be, you know, playing the back row or number 13, but I think centre is where he should be.
Well, he played right back row all his juniors.
Yeah.
Touched a little bit of fullback there because they had Ewan Aiken at right centre through the 20s. But Jack's one of them guys. You've seen him play six for Cronulla. You've seen him going at Origin in the middle. So I think wherever Jack plays, he's a footballer. He's not a positional player. But right now with the injury and you know, the fatigue in the game, he needs to minimise the contact he has until he gets his body ready to go for 80 minutes in another position.
And that's what he said at the start of the year. I'm going back to the centres just for the time. If he keeps on this trajectory, it'll get to the point where they won't be able to keep him out of the game and they'll need to move him closer to the ball because sometimes, you know, in the centres, you're limited to the amount of opportunities you get. And in those big contests when you need to get your best players the ball, they might need to have him. You know, if the Dragons keep sort of going along, get themselves into some big games, they need to make sure he's getting plenty of ball.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Just checking what's happening in beautiful Queensland is Ben Dobbin. G'day, Dobbo.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How are we? Well, we're all a bit of a spring in our step, a little bit more. I mean, there was a performance on Thursday night from Brisbane that probably gave some fans and some obviously supporters some hope that maybe things are starting to turn. I mean, they didn't get the 2 points, but what they showed was a bit more fight than what people have seen in the last month and the last couple of years. And it was a performance that I suppose you can benchmark and build from. If you're a Broncos fan and if you're a club, they can use that as their base starting to move forward.
Yeah, it was a, you know, they didn't get the result and Kevy would be disappointed because, you know, he's a winner and he expects to win, but they take some comfort out of a performance like that. Dobbo, what about the other big news up north, which is Carmichael Hunt? What's going on there?
Yeah, look, I mean, this came to light on Thursday and it's been in the process for at least the last 4 weeks. Now, Carmichael Hunt, obviously everybody knows, played his last time for Brisbane in 2009. It was a prelim final. And from there, he went on and obviously was in AFL and then went to rugby union. He's back playing for the South Logan Magpies this year. He's 34 years of age. And what he's done is he's made himself eligible, and off the back of they have got some real problems with leadership there at this present moment, Brisbane, just a void of senior players. And Kevin Walters is going to bring him in there, and he'll be on that trial and train sort of contract. Now, that means he cannot play till round 11. And if that's the case, that after round 11, he'll be able to play for the Brisbane Broncos. But he was going to actually come back to the club last week. They told him to hold off 5-7 days. He'll be there on Monday training with them. Now, obviously, he needs to get a little bit more match fit in the sense of ready and combinations, but he won't be in that 30-man squad to start off with. He will be on the trial and train contract. So from round 11, you'll see him. I don't know if it's a good move. I mean, you know, Gerds, Mary, you guys in the back bring a 34-year-old that hasn't played, you know, since 2009 rugby league. But what he does do is bring some experience to this squad and hopefully can guide these halves or give them some help because they need it.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with the leadership role because he speaks very well. He was obviously a very good player before he left. He's an experienced guy that people like to be around, and they are an inexperienced backline, really. Where he plays, that's the question. Yep. He's been playing in the centre in the Q Cup. They're probably looking to put Kevy's probably looking to push him a bit closer to the action at six. Mm. Mate, he's got 6 weeks to get himself in pristine condition because it's a lot different to the game he's played previously since 09. However, he did play Aussie rules, so one would say he's got a very, very good motor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can run 18 Ks, can't they, in a game, basically.
And I think it's important, too, that when you're sort of rebuilding a club or you're going through a phase like the Broncos are, that you bring people to the organisation that want to be there, and you're not necessarily, you know, he's not coming for the money, he's coming for an opportunity. It's like what Benji's been able to do at a couple of the clubs that he's recently been at.
Exactly.
You know, even if they're the back end of their career, if they're there for the right reasons, they can make a hell of a difference.
There is. In terms of leadership, though, there is a slight... I mean, you know, he's been through some troubles, Michael Hunt.
Well-documented.
Yeah, well-documented. He's then, you know, faced up, owned up, and moves forward. As in terms of leadership role, Merritt, that doesn't concern you about those kinds of past things?
No, they're past.
Yep.
You know, he was in when he was at Brisbane, you know, he was one of the best players in the competition, chose a different sport, mastered that sport, chose a different sport, mastered that. He would have seen different environments and been involved in that. From that brings the lessons, I suppose, from the past, which then he can educate the future. So it's pretty important for Kevy to get guys like that that he has trust in to the other guys get respect around.
Yep.
So. Yeah, Dom, I think he's going to be a great mentor for you guys, and I think it can't hurt. I don't think it can hurt. It's one of them things that, you know, if he goes good, well, it's a bonus. If he doesn't, well, he's going to be an ear for these young blokes like Dearden and Brady Croft. But you're the man of Bris Vegas who's got his ear to the ground. What did Kevy Walters say to them blokes before the game? what exactly did he say?
Well, I don't know word for word, but it was of the lines, and I talked about this on your show last week, that he does not want people there that don't want to be there, and he wants people that want to play for this Broncos jersey, and pretty much if you don't want to step up and you don't want to play, you can go. And that was the essence of it. Now, obviously, there was a few adjectives around it as well, but his theory on that, and from I think this is the right way, he only wants – I know we've got all these young blokes in Brisbane that they're trying to re-sign, but as he said to me this week, in the end – I want people that want to play for the Brisbane Broncos. We can throw them all the money, but if they don't want to be here, he doesn't want them there. So he's getting a group of blokes together, whether or not there's going to be some bloodletting. There's no two ways. You know, no one will confirm it, but the talk is there's up to 10 in that 30-man roster that could be gone by the end of by next season. So
are they under contract?
Sorry,
are they under contract?
Well, majority are off contract.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, that's an extended squad, and there's not many of those top line. There's no top line players, but there's a lot of players there, fringe players that will be not there next year. Now, Kevin Walters is trying to change the culture of this side. I tried to ask him who these players were, and he said that number's not right. But if you go through that 30-man roster, you could see that there's going to have to be some changes there. And you've also got the thing. The added thing is Milford is off contract. Mm. So what happens with Milford? My understanding is he won't be back in that side for at least a month. He's got a month of Intrust Super Cup playing Q Cup before he's even considered to try and get right. Now, there'll be a story tomorrow. He'll come out in the paper and talk about how he believes he's happy to be dropped and he deserved it and he just wants to find happiness and all that. But I don't think it should have ever got to this stage. I mean, this is Kevin Walters is having to do a decision that probably should have happened 2 or 3 years ago to get him right. And he's now having to fix up a lot of issues that have gone before him. That's all well and good. That's what happens when you take on a side like Brisbane and they were the wooden spooners last year. It was never going to be easy. But you saw what Ethan Bullimore did the other night. Mm-hmm. He slowly, and you saw what Matt Lodge with a fire and Tevita playing on the edge.
Well, that's what I want to talk to you about, Dobbo. The move from Kevy also through the week to drop young Ricky, put Tevita on that right side, coming up against really army kick out. He seems to me, Tevita, like he's a guy that needs a challenge. He's a guy that, you know, needs to make it personal. You think Kevy's going to keep him there?
Well, he'll definitely keep him there against Parramatta. But the problem with Tevita is, and we say this with the deepest respect, is doing it week in, week out. There's no doubt when Tevita Pangai Jr. is at his best, which it was on Thursday night, that he is a force to be reckoned with in this competition. But it's getting it week in, week out. And the good players know how to do that. Mm-hmm. There's been too much discrepancy between his best and his worst. And that's been the concern. And I think they're trying to get the consistency out of him. I mean, he said this about Corey Oates as well. Corey Oates on Thursday night was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, he hasn't been in that side for the first 5 weeks. Kevin Walt was asked about him. He said, if Corey Oates does that week in, week out, he'll be the best winger in the game. And in the conversation, we've seen what Corey Oates can do.
But he knows Broncos culture, Corey, because he's been one of their best for a number of years.
Yeah. So, there's obviously been some issues there off the field, or there's been some sort of clash. He wanted to go to the edge. After 3 rounds of not being in the side, he said, I want to go back to the wing. Kevy said, fine. And, you know, in round 5, he was there. And he was outstanding on Thursday night. So
he was awesome.
There he was. So there are some good signs there for the Broncos. Dobbo, as always, thank you so much for your input, buddy.
Great to see it. And I just want to say how good it is that, Mary, you've crossed over, mate. You're always such a big supporter of the media. And the fact that you've joined us, welcome aboard, mate.
Thanks, Dobbo.
You calling a game today, Dobbo?
Good night.
No, mate. No, day tomorrow. Off today. It's Thursday. We're back next week, mate, up here.
All right. Don't have too many beers.
Yeah, enjoy yourself, Dobbo. Plenty to come on this show. Mitch Kenyon will join us. We've got Believe It or Not, and we'll preview the rest of this round right here on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.